Hey guys, it's Jackie Zabrowski, and Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser are going back on tour with the Release the Butthole Cut Tour. We're coming to your town. Hold it, where are we going?
Salt Lake City, Denver, Colorado, Las Vegas. We're going to Portland, Oregon, Tacoma, Washington, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, and St. Louis, Missouri. Where can they find tickets, MJ?
For tickets, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
What's that again?
Lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Hell yeah.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, yeah! Man, wait a second. Let's set the vibe,
all right,
guys.
Set the vibe, bro.
God, Brandon, so nice to meet you. Say, you a Kappa?
I'm in Kappa.
Yeah. My father works for Halliburton.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's how I can afford all this.
Yeah, my grandfather died from one of the bombs.
That's boring.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Spring break.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, spring break edition.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking of doing this spring break? German Austin Powers.
Ooh, you think what is that?
Yeah, baby, yeah. Do I make you Ranzi, baby?
Ooh.
Yeah, baby, do I make you Ranzi?
No. I'm going hardcore.
Why would you do that?
I'm going hardcore senator from Minnesota.
Oh, that's good.
We're going to have to take a look at your parameters.
I don't think you guys understand what spring break is all about.
We're looking at your parameters for spring break. What do we do with all these inflatable balls?
Spring break is all about hanging out with Eric Nice doing the grind.
Mm. Eric Nice.
Remember him?
Is that from the grind?
MTV!
Why didn't you think of Daisy Fuentes instead?
Yeah, that's what I think of.
We were watching two different shows, my friend. That's the show inside the show. Eric's abs. Daisy Fuentes is fine.
I love Daisy. I love Daisy Fuentes, and I miss her.
Yeah. What? It's spring break, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no rules on spring break.
To make your auntie, baby.
Ooh. That is disturbing. Okay, today's episode, we got a best of. We're talking cryptids.
Yes.
Also, if you do see a cryptid this spring break, take a photo, send it in, make the show.
Make the show. We are having a little bit of a spring break here because the elves that are inside of the podcast factory, Fernando, Madeline, Kelsey, Kelly.
We need time off.
Right. We have the whole crew, right?
Joe. Oh, God.
They all got to sleep.
We are just so tired.
They are. We're whipping them. And we're like, all we do all day, squeeze content from their little hands.
Yeah.
But now they get to go down to South Beach.
Yep, they can do that.
They're released.
They channel their LeBron James, go to South Beach. They can go anywhere they want.
Yeah.
As long as they're fucking back here exactly 1 week from today.
Thank you.
Ready to work.
No, and it's great. Honestly, we want to say a big thank you to our entire crew here at LPN.
Wow. They work their asses off. Thank you very much. Enjoy your time off. Your paid time off, your PTO.
All right. Yeah. Now you guys are self-congratulating.
Compassionate capitalism.
There.
But what we decided to do is put together a cryptid best of. It's a bunch of our like old chunks of podcasts we have not listened to in a very long time. I'm very excited for you guys to hear this. I want us to do another cryptid episode soon.
We will.
Which we will do.
We shall do indeed. Okay, enjoy this best of cryptids.
Live from your grave.
Marcus, let's just start off. Do we want to start off with the first footage that was ever filmed of the Sasquatch?
Absolutely. That would be the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Okay.
And Sasquatch
Which,
has been...
by the way, 9 out of 10 times, that's a snuff film.
Absolutely. Well, that was all their previous movies, and then a bunch of just, like, pictures
The Sasquatch just showed up.
And yeah, him is... just videotaping his own butt to see if he had pimples on him.
And this is the video that I'm sure every single one of you have seen. It's a very short picture that was filmed on October 20th, 1967. It's the one that has Bigfoot just casually strolling along.
They say that it was a female Bigfoot that they originally had caught squatting and taking a shit next to the river.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, no girl wants to be caught doing that, even a Bigfoot girl. Yeah.
And, of course, the Bigfoot also has gigantic hairy tits.
Holy Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, love them. Love them.
Get in there.
And as you can see, you say the Bigfoot's taking a shit, looks very annoyed as it's walking away. And you wouldn't think that an animal that is just generally an animal would look annoyed.
So you think there's something special to the Bigfoot brain, something special that might make them ashamed of a public poo-poo?
Yeah, just a little bit more human than the simians.
Oh. We're gonna say, you say ashamed, but it really just comes down to it's inconvenience. And I'm just really surprised it didn't. This is the thing. This is the only thing I would say is like that. That makes me believe it's a hoax is that wouldn't it attack them?
Right.
You know, like if you film me taking a shit, if you bust into my house and film me while I'm taking a shit, I'm coming at you.
But I mean, you got poo-poo in the butt. You didn't have time to wipe. It's got that squeaky feeling. You just want to get back home where you can finally hop in that shower.
Yeah. And Patterson and Gimlin were also both armed.
Yeah, well, yes, and two horses as well, which are terrifying beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just with, like, nunchucks. These guys are kind of, they are a couple of clowns, but they may have made the only piece of footage about Bigfoot that actually exists, because, I mean, people fight it all over the place, though.
Mm-hmm. Let's pretend this film is real. Where was it shot?
It was shot in, California.
Okay.
Yeah, right, it's super northern Orleans, California.
And what year
Six
was
Rivers
this?
National Park.
Six River. And what year was this shot in?
1967.
Okay. So I guess
So the weed was sweet and music was jamming.
Oh,
Jimi Hendrix was just on the scene.
Was that?
This is just me setting the scene. Well, the streets of San Francisco were filled with hippies looking for answers, making questions.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could have just been the lead singer of the Grateful Dead on a terrible bender. What was that fellow's name?
That would have been Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia, I'm sorry. I only know him by his ice cream name, Cherry Garcia.
Cherry Garcia, which I think is more important in the end.
Think about it. That's made me happier.
I have spent more time with Cherry Garcia than Jerry Garcia.
Oh, it's very sad.
I'm literally sitting in a bucket of Cherry Garcia right now. Yeah, this is an eating town.
Well, here's an interesting some interesting background for both Patterson and Gimlin. Patterson died of cancer in 1972, and Gimlin didn't talk about the subject until the year 2000, when he finally began giving interviews and making appearances at Bigfoot conferences. Now, here is my question for you.
This is cash right now.
Exactly.
How excited was the guy who finally got Gimlin for the Bigfoot conference?
Excited, then immediately like, oh yeah, that's why he hasn't spoken in 30 years. He knows nothing.
Because he's taking all the free ketchup packets out of the Burger King going like, well, you never know when you need some free ketchup. Like saying like stuff like that. He's sleeping on the couch. While your girlfriend's in the bathroom.
Exactly. I wish ketchup packets would have those funny sayings like the Taco Bell packets. I don't even like hot sauce. I just take all of them and laugh.
What I love here too is I was reading this like one little bit here, and they were saying that when they finally captured the beast, he said you characterize the creature's expression as one of contempt and disgust. Mm-hmm. You know how it feels when the umpire tells you one more word and you're out of the game? That's the way it felt.
Doesn't sound
can't get enough of those little league analogies.
let's go for some of the criticisms of this film. We can go through some criticisms of it, and
can we
some
get to
people...
the positives first? What are there?
So the
any...
positive is that it looks like a monkey. The positive is that it's a bit, whatever it was. It was very big.
Are there any scientists that think that this is a legitimate possibility?
Absolutely.
And these are real scientists. Not...
Yes, these are real scientists.
Okay, so they do have some support.
There's this guy, Grover Krantz, that he points out mostly...
Well, let's
the...
first say that his first name is Grover, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Any science, if your name is Rupert or Grover or like Hedgehog...
The only thing a Grover could ever invent accidentally is the Chia Pet.
Well... one thing that a lot of anthropologists have tried to do to actually authenticate this is that they can look at how the person walks, and they can compare how a human walks to Bigfoot or how Bigfoot walks compared to a chimpanzee. Mm-hmm. But the only problem with that is the film is done at 24 frames per second. The frame rate isn't high enough to actually distinguish that with any kind of scientific credibility. However...
How convenient.
Interesting.
However, what Grover points out is he mostly points out to the dimensions of the creature, how gigantic it is. He points out that the tremendous width of the creature's shoulders, he estimated at 28.2 inches after deducting 1 inch for hair, or 35.1% of its full standing height.
Which you also have to do with Ed Larson in order to see if he could fit in a cubby hole.
He had a full standing height of 78 inches or 72 inches of its walking height, which is a bit stooped, crouch, and sunk into the stand. The creature's shoulders are almost 50% wider than the human mean. For comparison, Andre the Giant had a human ratio of 24%.
Holy shit. So whoever this was fucking massive.
However, I will address that later, the gigantic creatures. Only very rarely do humans have a shoulder breadth of 30%. Krantz argued that a suited person could not mimic this breath and still have the naturalistic hand and arm motions present in the film.
He also says
that the figure's stride, center of gravity, and biomechanics aren't consistent with a human's biomechanics, center of gravity, and stride, just that this thing moves very strangely.
Okay.
And this does not account for the fact that he may be a skilled mime or character actor.
Mm-hmm. This is California, after all.
Think about it. Think about it.
And so Krantz also showed the film to a man named Gordon Valiant, who is a researcher for Nike Shoes, who says he made some rather useful observations.
A researcher for Nike. Put them on your feet. I'll tie them up.
It's the laces that keep them on.
Isn't that weird? Some people don't use the laces. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't spaghetti.
I heard, but I eat it.
So, after all these years, you did have some anthropologists, some mainstream mainstream scientific community anthropologists, mm-hmm. which all of the Bigfoot supporters call the mainstream scientists, the MMSS.
Okay.
Mainstream scientists, MSS. It took me a little bit to get there.
It's a lot to get to.
Yeah.
That's fine. There's a lot. That's one thing I'm discovering about all of this stuff is there are a lot of acronyms.
They love it.
A lot of acronyms.
They love them.
Very hard to get your brain around. So some anthropologists did come out. One even wrote a book in support of it. However, in 2002, Philip Morris of Morris Costumes claims that he made a gorilla costume that was used in the Patterson film.
Oh.
He says that he discussed his role in the hoax privately in the 80s, but first admitted it publicly in 2002. He claims he was reluctant to expose the hoax earlier for fear of harming his business, i.e. giving away his performer's secrets, which would widely be disregarded as disreputable, much like a magician going on the Fox Network and showing how all the tricks are done.
Interesting.
That's an insult. He did an insult to that magician guy. That is unfair.
Yeah.
There is definitely a fight in Philip Morris's past with his father that he definitely seemed to have lost when his father said, "Get into the tobacco business. It's going to be huge." And he's like, "Fuck you, Dad. I'm making costumes."
Well, Morris said he sold an ape suit to Patterson via mail order in 1967, thinking it was going to be used in what Patterson described as a prank.
Well, when you get that from the mailman, make sure to scream, "My bride!
My bride!" Ordinarily, the perfect costume for my monkey drama.
This is strange. I did not know this. Ordinarily, the gorilla suits he sold were used for a popular sideshow routine that depicted an attractive woman changing into a gorilla.
Whoa.
Ooh, yeah.
That is a sticky theater.
Ed's mother.
And after the initial sale, Morris said that Patterson telephoned him to ask how to make the shoulders more active and the arms longer. And he said, here's why he said this is this is why the creature's walk is so strange. Morris said, the Bigfoot researchers say that no human can walk that way in the film. Oh, yes, they can. When you're wearing long clown's feet, you can't place the ball of your foot down first. You have to put your foot down flat.
Any scientific explanation that begins with when you're wearing clown feet like makes me just shut down.
Yeah. Another thing, when you put on the gorilla head, you can only turn your head maybe a quarter of the way. And to look behind you, you've got to turn your head and your shoulders and your hips. Plus, the shoulder pads in the suit are in the way of the jaw. That's why Bigfoot turns and looks the way he does in the film. He has to twist his entire body. He says that also Patterson called him.
That's
asking,
also how monkeys are built. That's how gorillas are built, where they can't turn their head individually.
Very
they
true.
Have to move their body. So,
however, one more person came out none other than Bob Hieronymus, the man in the gorilla costume.
Really?
His last name's Hieronymus?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you're like, what's the guy who was just like, shut up, Mom, I'm painting hell, the Hieronymus
Bosch. Yeah, Hieronymus Bosch.
Live from your grave.
You're walking around a nice, quiet neighborhood. Mm. It's a beautiful spring early evening, there's many picturesque gardens along the street. Mm-hmm. When suddenly, you notice a strange little figure with a bright red hat and bushy beard.
Come here, fucker. Come here, you fuck.
That's a very rude gnome, Pamela.
Come here. Show me your ass. Show me your ass, you fuck.
I think we're in the bad part of Gnome Town.
It's staring out at you through the bushes. What is it?
Come on, yeah. You want to see? I see my foot-long gnome dick.
I thought they were supposed to be cute and nice. That gnome is master.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my pointy hand and shove it right in your fucking ass. You walking around acting like you're all tall.
This isn't as magical. This is not as magical as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah. I got my dick stuck in a fox's ass early this morning.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, I do whatever the fuck I want. My name's Terry.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
I'm the badass gnome in the fucking. Oh, look at this beautiful corn.
All right, Terry.
I'm happy all of a sudden. I can't believe how thick these squash are today. I guess I could go ahead and shove it up my ass.
Well, you were being pleasant for a moment, but then you mentioned the squash up your ass. And
I was very much enjoying pleasant, Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people like it when I'm Terry, nice, but everybody else can go fuck themselves.
Terry, how many cigarettes do you smoke daily? Can gnomes smoke more or less?
I smoke one cigarette. It takes me 9 hours.
9 hours for one cigarette?
I got a tiny mouth, in case you can't tell. Unless you want to, it'd be perfect for sucking your dick, you fucking tiny
monster.
Oh,
I see, because I have a small dick. That's nice, Terry.
It's Terry. No one fucks with me. I'm a Siberian gnome.
Oh, wow. Of course, Siberian gnomes are known to trounce around with trolls.
Yes, the Siberian gnome has been the most affected by crossbreeding.
Yeah, which just sounds like rape.
Yeah.
Gnome rape. Different type. So let's go through all the different types of gnomes.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the adult male gnome weighs about 0.5 pound.
Wow, a 0.5 pound.
Yeah. The adult
I am just feeling so fat. I'm telling you, I feel like a 3/4 of a pound today. 3/4 of a pound.
You look at you fat bitch.
Well, Terry, again, I didn't invite that sort of comment.
Leave that door fucking swinging open for old Terry. He's going to stick his tiny big ass boot in there.
Well, it's difficult to have a tiny
big
ass.
Big foot for a tiny dude. Yeah, shove it right up your fucking meat piece.
Terry, you've changed.
Yeah, bring me a beer so I can drown in it.
The average height of the gnome is 6 inches.
I think there's a gnome in this beer. Somebody in Milwaukee, Wisconsin is the crack open a PBR. Oh, that's Terry the drunken
gnome.
No, bro,
hammered, man. You're hammered. It's like, no, dude. I think
there's
a
gnome in my fucking beer, man.
In my fucking beer.
This beer's fucking cheap.
It's like a mean, fucking drunk troll.
Get something nice, you fucking. You got something to say to me? Like, you can fucking take me.
So, but I was also reading about how gnomes are very durable, but how you could grab a gnome and throw him across a room and it bounces off a wall and it's totally fine.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
All the sorts of fun things you could just fucking make up.
Yeah, so I read a story where a man found a cat choking on a gnome. He squeezed the cat's neck until it spat it out, and he thought the gnome was dead. So he kind of laid it out on his table.
It's kind of adorable.
Saying, honey, look at this. This is a dead female gnome.
Right.
Naked as a jaybird.
I died and I woke up in hell. I woke up in hell.
And he comes, wakes up the next morning. The gnome is missing.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
Turns out, she's just playing dead.
Playing dead. Typical gnome trickery.
It was a naked female gnome?
It was a naked female gnome.
That's
apparently,
weird. That's a weird element to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked and I flopped around its little gnome's boobies for a second, just, you know, because no one was looking.
Got a bizarre little gnome
First
boobies.
Of all, I know that I can write a little post about this in my blogosphere called Raping the Gnome.
Raping the Gnome.
But, of course, the gnome wife's husband came back, thanked him for saving his wife, and they had a good crop of barley that year.
Here's a blueberry.
That's very nice.
What am I going to do with a fucking blueberry, gnome? Give me some cash. Where's the money, gnome?
Well, there's another story about a gnome being saved, And the man asks, "What? I want three wishes." He gives him a big, big nugget of gold.
That's nice.
And then he takes it to town. He tries selling it, and they say, "You're just a simple woodland farmer. What are you doing with all this gold?" And he said, "No, right. but a gnome gave it to me." And they said, "Get to the back of the bus, mister. We're not buying your bill of sale here."
They didn't believe him,
They didn't believe him.
Oh, that's insane.
They threw him in jail.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, gnomes, it's like those genie things where it's like the gnome does things and you can't believe, you know, you got to beware what gifts you receive from a gnome.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
A chunk of gnome would be
also,
nice,
the male wears a peaked red cap.
Yes.
Well, let's go back real quick. Let's hit up the types of gnomes. So we've discussed the Siberian gnome, the edgy Terry type gnome.
Yes, the Siberian gnome. He is centimeters larger, so he's the bigger gnome.
Okay.
He associates freely with trolls.
Wow.
And in certain regions, there's not a single gnome to be trusted. That would be in Siberia. The Siberian gnome takes revenge for even the slightest offense by killing cattle, causing bad harvests, droughts, abnormally cold weather, and so forth. The less said about him, the better.
The better. Don't even write about it in a fucking website about gnomes. Because God knows what this guy's going to come up with. He showed up here and be like, "Yeah, I raped your wife."
Well, that sounds like a typical thing.
Stop it, Siberian gnome. That's not fucking cool. Why did you rape my wife? Because her fucking gash was open to me and I hopped up in there. Yeah, Terry. Terry's gonna fucking slide it in and out so she has an orgasm.
I'm not sure if Terry's going to invoke an orgasm.
Yeah, but I'll use my whole body. I fucking slam the whole clit thing like it's a boxing bag.
That is disgusting.
This is horrible.
That's enough of Terry for a second. You know, just a moment. We got farm gnomes.
Yeah, we got farm gnomes. They resemble the house gnome, but it is...
Yeah, they're like Uncle Tom gnomes.
Yeah.
These are fucking gnomes have been put to work.
Now, they are of a more constant nature, and they are conservative in all manners. The house gnome is a special sort, however. He resembles an ordinary gnome, but he has the most knowledge of mankind. Gnome kings are chosen from this family of gnome.
Okay. What?
They're good-natured, always ready for a lark or a tease.
Hey, so we were talking quickly about Iceland, in Iceland, the Huldufólk that exists there, they say there's up to 65% of people that live in Iceland, Ragnar, you can tell us if that's true or not, believe that they've at least seen a gnome, never mind been raped by one.
Well, I don't know how many believe that they've been raped by them.
I don't know.
68% have been raped by a gnome, but only 65% have seen them.
So 3% just can't believe they were raped by a gnome.
Yeah, they don't realize they just sat on a Twinkie.
Yeah, that happens.
And so,
it's a weird way to eat.
But what's really interesting, so it's very common there. Another thing we discover is with these, with a lot of gnome sighting, and what they say is like hidden people, like elves, tiny people.
Right.
And a lot of times it coordinates with places of heavy UFO activity. And another thing that correlates with that is that when they talk about Iceland, the thing about Iceland is that it's sitting on a bed of moving lava, right? And so Iceland, on a sort of geological standpoint, is still like being formed. And so there's something to the idea that because it's in constant transition and there's something going on underneath it, it has an effect on the mentality and, of course, like this, even the psychic state of people living around there.
I would say the volcanic gases probably cause a fair amount.
And the other thing
is, so magic mushrooms are fucking everywhere in Iceland.
You see a lot of gnomes on magic mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm sure if you spend all day just being like, "Grandma's making stroganoff tonight," and she's just like been eating fucking golden rimmed fucking like brown berry mushrooms out there, and she's just like dancing on the ceiling, and then she's like, "Why are you supposed to be making stroganoff, Grandma?" And she's like, "The colors. I'm a rainbow."
Oh, that's great.
That's beautiful.
I love Grandma. I love going to Grandma's house. There's also a thing called house gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Which are exciting.
But it's like there's a crop circle. Like crop circles are also formed around natural aquifers, and like all these things where it's like when sort of heavy geological activity is happening, that's when you see a lot of sightings of these types of things.
So that's
I'm not
all
farting. It sounds like I'm farting constantly, but there's drilling going on
Yeah,
upstairs.
Someone so is doing some construction near our not quite soundproof studio.
No.
Do these gnomes enjoy sort of aquifer-like situations? They like some swamplands and things like that?
Okay, can I read the daily routine of the gnomes?
Please do, sir.
After sunset, the gnome house comes to life. Even without windows, they know when it begins to get dark. And besides, the field mice begins to toddle about them.
Time for me to wake up. The lady of the house steps out of the alcove bed, puts on her slippers, and shuffles off to the stove, where she belongs.
Well, Henry put that in there himself.
Where he gets the fire underway by adding dry leaves to the embers.
Oh.
Next, she puts on a couple of pails of water on the heat, if her husband wants a bath, that is,
and
a kettle on for tea. She then goes to the bathroom to make herself presentable.
And he's sleeping this whole time.
Oh, he's deeply asleep because he's got work to do.
Right, right.
When she leaves the bathroom, her husband waits a few minutes, then pokes his feet out of the alcove bed, sometimes with morning mumbles and grumbles. He then steps into his slippers and hangs his nightshirt and nightcap on a handsome wrought iron peg.
Mm. Well, that's nice.
Except if you're a poor gnome and then it's a nail fucking buried in a fucking board.
Yeah, that's sad.
He looks unimprovingly as his wife empties hot water into the tub, testing the temperature. He then steps to his bath.
I hope it's the right temperature.
In bathing, he takes a couple of handfuls of dried soapwort, Saponaria officinalis, from a tray hanging on the wall and splashes it around in the water to produce an abundance of suds.
He coughs a little bit because he's a raging alcoholic who smokes constantly.
While mother and father are thus occupied, the children set the table for breakfast. In the meantime, father dries himself.
Right. Which is quite a great image of a gnome dry. Yeah. Really quick. How big is a gnome towel?
You think 4 inches.
4 inches?
The gnome itself is only six inches.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like that's a pretty large
towel. I use a 9-foot towel.
Oh, okay.
That's only because I burrito myself.
Right, right.
After breakfast, his wife prepares a snack for his night journey, a hollowed acorn filled with tea and a bag of biscuits.
Sweet.
The biscuits, taken from various grass seeds...
Sweet, marijuana.
...are a hearty meal in themselves. He lights his first pipe... waits until his wife has cleared away the breakfast things, and then they discuss the coming nightly activities or problems concerning the children. I think little Bobby Gnome is going to kill us in our sleep.
Most likely, honey.
I'm
most
afraid
likely.
He's going to take a tiny fucking gnome AK-47 to his school.
Oh, that would be adorable.
The first,
a little gnome gun.
Yeah, Nalumbine.
Yes, Gnome
Columbine.
Yeah, that was one of the saddest moments in gnome history, wasn't it?
Yeah, they blame Marilyn Gnomeson.
Yeah, Marilyn Gnomeson.
His dark gnome music.
Yeah, of course. The beautiful gnome.
The beautiful people.
The beautiful gnomes. The beautiful gnomes.
As he enters the outside, he checks out the terrain for a few minutes. And if it is not yet dark enough, the gnome waits beside a friendly rabbit until deeper darkness falls. His activities.
Whoa, what happened?
His activities at night may be some of the following. He could go to the forge, pottery, or sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
He may go to his herb garden and either sow seeds, weed, hoe, prune, or harvest.
Mm-hmm.
He may take care of the firewood supply or pick berries. Everything that can be done during short, sultry summer nights, long, cold winter nights, velvet, black, or moonlit nights, rainy nights, etc. And just before sunrise, if the gnome's activities do not cause him to seek shelter elsewhere, which means he can go fuck whatever he wants.
That's the thing, yeah.
I'm sorry, wife. There was a kitty cat that was waiting for me outside of the hollow log.
Yeah, and it throated me over and over again like you won't do.
I'd love to watch a little gnome juggly club, you know? That'd be kind of fun to watch.
From your grave.
So this next guy is someone that a lot of people out there probably would have heard about, especially if you're really into aliens.
Yep.
The Flatwoods Monster.
Well, this is my favorite kind of regional monster, because you hear a lot with Mothman as well. A lot of these stories are often paired with UFO sightings. I love it because to me it supports the idea that there is a grand paranormal theory that like aliens and these monsters and elves and fairies and shit are all the same thing. Don't look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm not even looking at you. I'm trying to.
I looked away.
Yeah, you gotta look away.
I have a series of beliefs.
The one fun thing about this with the Flatwood Monster, he has a little scooter with him. He's got his own little mobile.
He's got like a Dr. Robotnik, Professor
type.
X thing.
Yeah. Which is very fascinating.
Well, the first sighting of the Flatwoods Monster was in 1952 when a group of kids saw a flying saucer crash into the land out of the sky. Mm. They went to go check it out. Of course, they saw a large pulsating ball of fire.
Uh-oh.
Which is really cool, because this was also witnessed by a bunch of people. This was seen by like a couple dozen people.
Some they adults made
a
big deal.
They called the police station because they were like, they thought there was a downed aircraft. And so a bunch of people went out to go see what they saw.
Mm-hmm. And the great show on the History Channel introduces us to an investigator who has been working on the case for 20 years.
20 years.
He hasn't had a wife in 20 years. And
but he's got a lot of files on the Flatwoods Monster.
He does have a lot of files and a lot of sand. I think he just got a lot of dirt in those canisters. Yeah. He's collecting all the dirt from the scene.
Well, of course, these kids, though, they were the first on the scene. It was a group of three kids. They detected a pungent mist in the air that
burned
their eyes
with these monsters.
A lot of smells. In fact, we see that a lot with Big Feet as well.
Yeah,
a
he
lot
smells of
the
like shit.
Yeah, skunk, Big Feet. That would be the plural. Bigfoot.
Okay.
There are many big feet.
Yeah, because what do you say, Bigfoot?
Yeah. I think Bigfoot. I mean, I don't know.
I've never been to Oregon, but I swear to God, I'm scared of the idea that there's like 9 to 12 Bigfoots up in there.
I think Bigfoots is the proper term. Yeah, not big feet.
Well, if any of you have an opinion on whether it's Bigfoot or Big Feet,
I guess take the time to email.
Well, go to the last podcast. I mean, go to the last podcast Facebook page and let us know there.
Big Feet sounds like a whole nother creature.
No, he's only got one big foot. He's got two big feet.
Okay, so if you want to make an argument that the whole thing is wrong,
then
it should just be big feet because he's got two big feet.
And I will add that into my super theory.
Uh-huh. All right. It's an ongoing debate then. I'm going with Bigfoot.
When I release my journals, everyone will see the truth.
No, you're gonna be framed for a crime you didn't commit just because they're so psychotic.
So they go out there with their flashlight. They're looking at the object that is a large glowing ball on the ground. And they see off to the left two glowing lights in the trees. Hmm. They shine their flashlight over, revealing a creature which is said to be at least 10 feet tall.
Ooh.
A red face, bulging non-human eyes, and shaped like either a heart or the Ace of Spades.
Yeah, people saying it's Ace of Spades, and it looks specifically very artificial. Now, which is really interesting because you're going to hear there's several other sightings of this monster, which we'll hear right now. And apparently this is some sort of costume he was wearing or some sort of protective suit.
Which would make sense, yeah.
Why don't you take some of the other sightings?
Well, the other sightings were basically there was a couple driving. It was a 31-year-old woman and her daughter were driving down the highway near the area where it was originally seen about a week later, and they saw another gigantic 9-foot-tall humanoid. They were driving, very similar to a UFO story. Blinding light hit the car. They stopped the car. In front of them, through this light and smoke, which began to surround the car, which again they said smelled like mustardy, smelled super sulfury. This creature and a gigantic look like what we hear and describe the original sighting of the monster. It's like a gigantic metallic skirt.
Yes.
Like, and this thing. Yes, and it said the same thing. This creature came forward. It looked lizard in nature, 9 feet tall. Two, its hands, the same thing that it described in the first monster, its hands were just like two long digits.
Yeah, two big old fingers.
Short, stubby arms ending in long claw-like fingers which protruded from the front of the body.
Yeah, sounds like just somebody after an 18-hour rave. You know?
Just body painted for some woods rave. Yeah, but it was floating on this device, and it came up to their car, touched their car, and apparently created a V burn on the hood of their car and then disappeared.
And the car stopped, right? They had some car troubles?
Yeah.
That was the...
Yeah, and, it's a very common UFO scenario.
What is the name of the town again?
This is Braxton County, West Virginia.
Braxton County, West... So I'm just going to go out on a limb. A 31-year-old mother... driving with her 21-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
21-year-old daughter. Isn't that interesting? Both of age.
This is another common school. Well, because you can easily connect this to the Mothman sightings, because Mothman, same exact thing, coal town, giant glowing red eyes, huge 9-foot-tall creature, and there's...
But he could fly. He didn't need this vehicle to get around.
But there's a connection to the two that I think a lot comes from, like, the poisonous gases coming out of the mountains just randomly.
Well, that's my favorite thing about it. This guy would just get everybody super messed up on this on these inhalants.
Mustard gas is what they said it smelled like.
Yeah, because the people who originally saw the Flatwoods Monster got incredibly sick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They say that even later on in that Monster Quest episode on about the Flatwoods Monster, they basically said, like, everybody who was involved in the original sightings had been dying
cancer.
But the thing is, it's a very old sighting, and I have a feeling these people all chain
they
smoked.
They were going to get cancer
and there was a
anyway.
Lot of whiskey, and yeah. they all died. It seems to be natural causes.
But it's all coal mines. I mean, there yeah. is a very rational explanation for the Flatwoods Monster.
They all died of lung and throat cancer.
Yeah, asteroid owl.
They keep saying this
coal
owl
fumes.
Though. That's the thing that I don't understand.
What do you mean? Explain this owl thing.
They said the way they have explained off the Flatwoods Monster is that it's this chain of events.
It's an owl.
Is that they saw an asteroid. There was a fire in the forest, and then they saw a big old owl, and it shined their lights on it in the night. And they have a thing called expectant. Perception, I believe, is the term where, like, they use in cryptozoology, which is this idea that, like, if you are told that you're going to see shit, and if, like, well, it's because the Mothman was also happening, or not, like, nearish to the same time, and these stories have happened all over the country for forever, and so it's like you're expecting to see something, so maybe you'll take the vision of an owl that you shined a flashlight on and make it into a giant
expectant
monster.
Expectant reality.
Not only that, but in 1952, this was when aliens and UFOs were all over
big.
Movies, they were all over comic books, television. These kids, they see something flying out of the sky. Remember, they're children.
Yeah.
And then they will see what they want to see.
They were in their teens.
Yeah, they were in their teens, but still, these are the types of kids that are going to be seeing that type of stuff. And the short type of protruding limbs with claws, it's owl claws.
Yeah, but how big an owl
know.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, that's
owls
the
can
thing.
Get pretty big.
They can't it get 9 feet.
I mean, they can't. Well, if they're up top and you see, if they're on top of, say, a bush or something like that, because it was also described as being green in nature, the actual pleated skirt. It could be.
So an owl sitting on top of a bush.
How am I the one that is being
Isn't
portrayed as crazy right now?
I'm just saying it just sounds crazy that just some owl's going to be around in the forest.
I've seen a lot of owls. I've never thought it was the Flatwood Monster.
Not even once. Yeah.
Not at all. But you never know.
But there is, these stories have been told for years and years and years. And so we could probably hop from that to the Mothman.
Of course, the Mothman.
Which is just that we've when did Mothman start?
1966.
Yeah, 1966. So, and this is, again, West Virginia. I mapped it. It's about an hour from Flatwoods. And so it's the same area, again, a town sitting on, and that's specifically Point Pleasant, right? Point Pleasant was sitting on a coal waste dump. Like underneath the ground, they dumped all this the waste products from the coal mine into the water supply.
Yeah,
so
that's
they had
good.
Been getting poisoned for a while.
So they were just seeing things.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
but I feel like if you get poisoned for 20 years, you get used to it.
Oh, absolutely.
So
you
why
build
are you
a tolerance,
seeing shit
sure.
now? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, until the cancer comes.
Well, and the cancer's going to come for us all anyway.
Most likely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Massive heart attack as well. That's a very good possibility. We don't know, though, going back to Flatwoods real quick, we don't know where the smoke came from. And everyone does seem to think that was a real phenomenon.
It just sounds like the smoke is a part of what made you see the thing, is that it's probably some fart from a mountain of poisonous coal gas.
It was a mountain
fart.
And
it came out, and it made everybody just go like, ooh.
Yeah, the impact of the asteroid upon the ground could have expelled some sort of gas, because there are asteroids falling on record on that day at that time in that area.
Oh, so that's it.
Yeah.
Unless it came from the asteroid.
That's a very, very good possibility.
No, it's an asteroid and a big owl.
Oh,
that's
okay.
all it is.
All right. All right. A lot of smoke, though.
I'm going to take a look at the evidence again and decide for myself if it's not the Blackwood fucking monster's real or not.
Oh, you mean the children's drawings?
Yeah.
Well, they're very well
they're
done.
Very creepy.
Yeah, they're creepy as shit.
I like the way you describe, you know, how that's just the earth farting, so like a geyser is like, hey, so you're taking a big piss. And then like a volcano is like, oh, it just got shits.
I'm not a scientist.
Right. That's the earth taking a big shit. And then you're like, you're a bad father.
The volcano, he must have had some spicy food.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a spicy shit to me. Oh.
So instead of us really getting into the Mothman.
Because we covered the Mothman before.
Yes.
Everybody knows it. And so a real brief, a bunch of Mothman sightings happened, and then a bridge collapsed outside of this town, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and they believed it became this harbinger of bad news.
Well, in reality, the bridge collapsed because of bad government.
I mean, it's West Virginia.
The infrastructure in this country is not doing well.
No.
Not nailing it. No.
Live from your grave.
Now, while many skeptics say that the Chupacabra phenomenon could not possibly be real, as the creature only started showing up in Puerto Rico in the mid-90s, but that isn't necessarily true.
No es necesario verdad.
Good job, Henry.
Now, while the term chupacabra only showed up around 1995, weird shit had been happening in Puerto Rico for decades before that, and specifically weird vampire shit in addition to UFOs, secret government tests, and a Bigfoot or two.
Yeah!
Ooh, Bigfoot, love them.
Man, yeah. I would love to be on a Bigfoot hunt in Puerto Rico. And you could just go and they got the plantains and nothing but sweet, delicious pork and the beaches and Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. And El Yunque Rainforest, which is where Bigfoot has been seen many a time. El Yunque Rainforest is the most beautiful place I've ever been to on the entire Earth. It's fantastic.
And with any luck, there'll be a Gary Busey-like billionaire aboard who just finds himself a poor, impoverished person from New York City, covers him in a Bigfoot outfit, throws him into the woods, and you get to hunt him like you're like a real person.
Like a real person.
You're
hunter.
A hunter. You're four big feet.
Also,
Bigfoot.
This is the thing, though. Bigfoot, out in the jungle, kind of steamy, they're kind of humid. Think it would shave itself. Probably looks like a normal big fat ugly person.
But before we get to all that, let's cover some of the original mid-90s sightings. Now, a woman named Madeline Tolentino reported that she witnessed a creature that was 3 feet tall, ran on two legs in a strange hopping motion that will become important later.
Remember that.
Sounds like Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
It has large black eyes, bony fingers, long arms and legs, and a feathery line running down its back. But another witness who saw that creature closer up said that those feathers were actually sharp spines. And that witness was also close enough to see that the creature's mouth was full of fang-like teeth, perfect for goat sucking.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but did they get married?
Did they get married?
Did they get married?
The thing is that I don't necessarily see fangs and think, oh, that's good for sucking. Normally, what I'd like to see is a long tube with a bunch of like...
You're talking about a proboscis.
Yes, like spines at the very end of it. Now, that's good for sucking.
Well, that is a good point, and maybe we can get that answered. How do they actually get the blood out of there?
That's very true. I mean, there's a lot of different theories.
How were they getting the blood out of there, Mark?
Oh, you know what it was? Twirly straws. Every chupacabra comes with three twirly straws.
Have fun
straws.
With it. Make it fun.
Make it fun.
Now, this wasn't even close to the only sighting in the mid-90s. Nick Redfern, author of Chupacabra Road Trip, interviewed a farmer named Jorge who lived in a small village and raised roosters for cockfights, an industry that legally pumps $100 million a year into the struggling Puerto Rican economy, employing 1.2 million people.
Literally. Wow. And their baseball teams literally cost about $10 million a year.
Well, we were talking before the show, out of all animal fights, cockfights are probably the most reasonable.
I mean, I dated a girl in high school whose dad was a cockfighter, and he treated those animals wonderfully.
This absolutely. This is technically some sort of validation syndrome because you chose to sleep within the cockfighting mafia. Well, right? You know what I mean? So you chose to love on the wrong side of the tracks, the cockfighting track. Roosters, again, yeah, I don't feel like they have that very many emotions.
No.
Until I saw chicken people.
Oh,
so you're going to come here and tell me that chickens don't have emotions and they should be allowed to fight each other?
Well, I think it's the people that are broken inside that implant their emotions inside the chicken.
Maybe you are correct.
Sort of a reflection. I do want to say, though, the girlfriend that Marcus had, her father told her she must break up with Marcus because she's dating a chupacabra and he will kill the entire fighting flock.
He's got those spaced apart teeth, perfect for sucking.
Leave him.
So one night, Jorge woke up to the frightened cries of his beloved roosters, but decided it wasn't worth going to check on that night as chickens freaking out isn't exactly a rare occurrence.
Yeah, why didn't he even wake up? All chickens and roosters do is scream.
But when he woke up and took a look at the cages where the roosters were kept the next morning, he found that all of them were dead. Now, while one might think this was merely one of many of Puerto Rico's wild dogs having a good time, the only wounds the roosters had received were two neat puncture wounds on their necks. Mm. Furthermore, the roosters had been completely drained of blood, although it is possible in a lot of these chupacabra cases where they say they're drained of blood, they say there's no real blood around, so they assume that there's no blood left. As Redfern points out, lack of blood at the scene might just mean that the blood of the roosters had merely pooled into the lower parts of their bodies, as that does tend to happen once a heart stops pumping blood.
See, I had that happen to me on Sunday because I had sat on the couch for approximately 12 hours, and eventually the blood does pool all the way down.
Well, I suffered from blood clots growing up. Okay.
Well, honestly, though,
They keep saying this. All the blood is gone. Toda la sangre is vaccinatio. I'm not sure that how to say
no,
gone.
No, that's not right. Yeah.
But it's never all the way gone. In order to get all of the blood out of something, you need a proboscis.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Or you gotta shake it.
Well, we've never actually caught a Puerto Rican chupacabra dead or alive, unlike the Texas chupacabra, who has been caught dead many a time.
This woman, on Monster Quest, is a woman who's being like, I found the chupacabra on my land, and I knew it was because I had never seen a canine form such as this. She chopped off the head of the corpse of this dead dog and froze it, put it in her freezer around her family, brings it out, and the guy, the cryptozoologist, she brings out this frozen head of a dog. He's like, well, that's... There's a first time for everything.
Look at that.
That's a dog.
Yeah. Always nice to have a severed dog head in your freezer for months.
Well, the only actual evidence that we had of the Puerto Rican chupacabra forensically was a bunch of chicken feathers that were supposedly covered in chupacabra saliva.
Ooh.
But once they were finally sent for DNA testing, unfortunately the sample had degraded to a point where it was useless.
And there is somewhere a farmer wiping his brow of sweat. Because he is like, if they find out I'm licking my chickens, I will be ham, embarrassed.
Ham. You I like best. You are my favorite chicken. You will be so succulent. How big and supple your breasts.
I just want to go fight. Can I go fight? Oh, no, hand me the coop. I would like to go fight.
You're my sweet little loud salt lick. Delicious little chicken.
If the chupacabra would just come and save me from this hell.
But the lack of blood wasn't the only strange thing about the crime scene. All the chickens had been locked away in separate cages when Jorge had gone to bed that night, but by the morning, each cage had been unlatched to get at the sweet rooster inside. Mm. This suggests a human culprit with opposable thumbs. But how could a human drain that many chickens with no light to guide him? As this was a small village, there were no street lamps or anything like that. And how could said human get away with no footprints?
He was floating on a bunch of balloons.
That's possible.
Like in the movie Up.
Ooh, I like that movie.
And then there's the matter of the hair. Jorge found a tuft of coarse hair stuck in the wires of one cage that had been particularly roughed up. Jorge gave the tuft to the cop who showed up to investigate the dead chickens. Cop said, I'm gonna go have it analyzed, but Jorge never saw the hair nor the cop ever again.
Well,
it was,
I mean,
not a cop. That was a stripper on the way to a bachelorette party.
Yeah.
But also, it just seems like you've got a man named Jorge who lives out in the. He calls the cops over and he's just like, the goat sucker has come to my house. And literally, they're just trying to shut him up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So they look at the thing, they see a bunch of coarse hair in there. They should naturally assume that a Greek man has just gone rooster wild.
Sure. Can you eat the chickens?
After the chupacabra has killed them?
No.
I think you can.
A chupacabra chicken sounds it sounds exceptional and rare and probably a very high price for a plate of chupacabra chicken.
I guess, honestly, the jury is out on that for me personally, only because...
You eat brains?
I know, but they're raised kidneys. For that. They literally just, they have their legs have atrophied and they'd be put in a tiny cage so they can do nothing but think so their brains get big and juicy.
Oh, is that what they do when that's they put chickens they in cages? So they can think.
They can think. They get big and juicy. So then, but my head, people also collect roadkill and eat roadkill.
Well, you can't. It's legal in many states.
Varmint stew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They call it varmint stew?
Some people do.
Probably could give it a new name. Probably could call it Lubbock stew.
Well, I think it's the same thing. But I don't have a problem with that.
Call it a good Aspermont soup.
Yeah, why not?
This is more of a stew than a soup. It's just a name.
Yeah, we'll call it... Truck tire stew.
Shout out to our listeners in Aspermont.
Oh, absolutely.
Live from your grave.
So by late January of 1909, the southern part of New Jersey, as well as parts of Pennsylvania and New York, were in a full-blown panic that would last a full 7 days, known at the time as Phenomenal Week.
Cool.
In that week alone, people made well over 100 reports that they'd seen something resembling the Jersey Devil. The whole thing started with a man named
Thack Cozens, who saw it flying down the street in Woodbury, New Jersey that Sunday.
Oh.
Then, when a cop in Bristol, Pennsylvania reported that he'd seen the creature and it even took a shot, the thing became a little bit more real because a cop had seen it.
Of course, and he tried to shoot it immediately.
I mean, he had to at the time. He thought it was holding a weapon.
Over the next few days, strange tracks started appearing in dozens of towns across southern New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And on January 19th, a Mr. and Mrs. Nelson Evans were woken up by a strange creature outside their house in the middle of the night. This is the account as told by Mr. Evans.
It was about 3.5 feet high, with a head like a collie dog and a face like a horse. It had a long neck, wings about 2 feet long, and its back legs were like those of a crane. And it had horse's hooves. I believe it was married to Matthew Broderick. It walked on its back legs and held up 2 short front legs with paws on them. It didn't use the front legs at all while we were watching. My wife and I were scared, I tell you. But I managed to open the window and say, shoo! And it turned around, barked at me, and flew away. I believe it said its name was Sarah Jessica Parker.
That is a classic bit.
Classic bit. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Wow.
Classic.
Relevant and classic. That's the thing.
Another woman chased the devil down with the broom as it was trying to eat her dog, and that encounter was followed by the entirety of the Black Hawk Social Club seeing the devil whiz past their windows during a meeting.
Wow.
Man, that Black Hawk Social Club must have been a pile of bitches. And you know when they came into to whatever quilt social that they went to afterwards, being like, we all saw the Jersey Devil last night. And they're all like, oh, yeah, we did too. It sounds like someone's ghost is talking. Slammed. Slammed him again.
Nice. Is it social clubs, were they women or men? I thought men were mostly in the social club.
Yeah,
men were.
That was a social club. Yeah, the Black Hawk Social Club. That was a bunch of dudes
hanging out.
I thought it was like a cool group of goth chicks, and I was happy with the idea of it.
No, it's a bunch of dudes from Trenton, New Jersey.
But I think everyone was kind of goth back then.
Yeah, weren't they? Somewhat.
It was more, everybody looked like John C. Reilly back then.
Yeah.
Everyone, okay. The men and the women.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until a city councilman in Trenton claimed he'd seen the devil, which made the whole damn thing official, that the Jersey Devil panic really got out of hand.
Mm, you can always trust public officials in Trenton.
Always.
So by Friday, schools were closed and factories were shut down because the men refused to leave their families to go to work. This is after just 5 days.
Wow.
And other men formed posses and searched for the devil throughout the night.
Oh, this is so fun.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Even a local fire department got in on the game when they freaked out and sprayed what they assumed to be the Jersey Devil with a fire hose until whatever it was ran away screaming.
Probably just the town drunk.
Just a guy.
Oh, man.
Just a guy with like elephantitis who's just been like, there's just no reason for this treatment. I'm the only one in this town who knows how to do taxes.
Everything settled down by the end of January, and the sightings of the Jersey Devil have been sporadic at best ever since.
Okay.
With one of the most gruesome happening in 1966.
Says you, though, Marcus, because every single person I know that I texted the two people I know from Jersey, and both of them said, oh, yeah, I got a Jersey Devil story. And then when you watch other docs and, like, the Monster Quest episode about Jersey Devil, everybody's got a story, which involves being like, we were out. And we weren't completely straight, but we had only a couple of beers. We're only smoking a little bit. And next thing you know, I'm looking at a dog horse with bat wings. And you're just like, they all say the same shit.
Yeah, it's the exact same story over and over again, except for this one in 1966. Hmm. This is another clip from Mother Leeds' 13th child from a cop who responded to a call about the Jersey Devil attacking a farm.
At the time I was called here, Mr. Silcotch advised the station that he was missing numerous ducks and some other type of animals. I arrived at the scene here at this time. He advised me that he was missing 31 ducks, 4 cats, 2 dogs, and a few geese. Apparently, some type of animal had come in and gotten these fowl and his animals and taken them off somewhere. and either just killed them for the sake of killing or had eaten some of them.
No other animal could have done that.
Nope.
It had to have been the Jersey Devil. 31 these ducks.
But they fly. Was it by any chance upon winter?
I love cop talk so much. I love the, and upon the scene of the crime, all 30 plus 1, that is 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 1, 31. Trenta uno in Italian. Ducks, the fowl, the waterfowl, with marbled texture to their wings, to their feathers. The ocular, I don't know what the scientific word for feathers, John, do you know? They were disappearing from the scene.
They do let you know everything they know.
Everything they know, yes.
Live from your grave.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk lake monsters, we would be remiss if we didn't start with the most infamous lake monster of all time. The biggest and most famous cryptid that we have yet to cover here on the show.
Choose wisely.
What's it going to be? Jack Nicholson on a sub eating a sub. Jack Nicholson on a boat eating a Subway sandwich.
That is my favorite.
I had to go through a series of people, but then I was like, oh, they'll be mad at me. They all respect that person. But Jack Nicholson, because he's doing so well, eating a sandwich on a boat. That's my kind of sea monster.
It's my favorite.
Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, okay. Oh, this guy.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to a location where a cryptid might live, it's hard to do better than Loch Ness. Loch Ness is the largest body of freshwater in all of Britain, and other than a few vacationing middle-class Englishmen, it was largely unspoiled until 1933, when some of the loch's surrounding forest was cleared away to give easier access.
And a sum of Loch Ness's entire situation was ruined by next week's topic, which I'm actually very excited for, about how what his...
We're going to cover deforestation? We're going to talk about what's going on in Brazil right now?
No, that's like season 25 of last podcast and left, where it's just talking about how, like, bugs are also kind of evil, and wind grass attacks.
I love that. I can't wait to read the bugs are also kind of evil script.
Some organs look weird.
Yikes, weird.
Furthermore, Loch Ness is not a singular body of water. The River Ness connects the loch to the sea, which conveniently gives Loch Ness believers an excuse when people ask why Nessie isn't being constantly spotted by the hundreds of thousands of observers who have been coming to the loch since the 30s.
He goes out the back door!
Oh, I see.
He's got a big dude, it's what it is.
Well, he's got to. Everyone's trying to punch its vagina like Marcus Parks did.
I did not punch the Loch Ness Monster's vagina.
Oh, you would if you could. I know you would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that about him.
However, people do tend to see something out there with fair regularity, and there's a reason for that. The loch's waters are often terribly calm, and the high shorelines cast shadows and reflections that cause small objects like birds and small animals like otters to appear much larger than they really are.
What does the otter do?
Swims, eats.
That's it? Okay.
You seen him? He puts the blocks of the different shapes in the proper slots.
Yeah. I just don't know how an otter survives other than, like, for fun on Instagram.
Turning tricks. It's a sex worker of the lake world.
Oh, my.
In addition, wakes from boats passing through the loch, of which there are many, can be reflected from the shores to form a standing wave in the center of the loch long after the boat has passed out of sight, which could easily be mistaken for the wake of a large creature swimming underwater.
And it also has a lot of, like, weird channels underneath it. It's got a weird bottom to it where they say that things can hide or whatever. But it does seem to be, more than anything, every time they've taken pictures of what could be, there's a recent picture of a Loch Ness actually that came out like several months ago that came out, but it was a big fish.
Well, that's, yeah, but it's fun if you just call it a Loch Ness Monster. And what's the difference?
That's what I mean. Now you're getting on my page.
Yeah, honestly, the water is still full of the scariest of all the creatures, as far as I'm concerned.
If you call it a tuna sandwich, it becomes a tuna sandwich.
That's what Subway did.
Now, Scotland is full of lochs, just like Loch Ness. Some so deep that the Eiffel Tower could be dropped to the depths and the tip wouldn't even break the surface.
Whoa, Carmen Sandiego.
What? Wait, is she in the Eiffel Tower under the ocean?
That's where she put it.
That's where she put it?
I don't know.
Carmen Sandiego, you were trying to find Carmen Sandiego. I don't think that she had anything. Did she have anything?
She would steal the important historical figures and landmarks.
That's why you were trying to find Carmen Sandiego.
I thought they were. I thought she was just a missing person.
What do you think? She thought that she was just like guilty of rape or something?
Yeah, like Roman Polanski. I don't know. I thought everyone was just trying to find Carmen Sandiego. I thought, I honestly was like, someone kidnapped her. Like, what is she, from Utah? Like, what's going on?
Wow, you missed the whole point of that show.
What was, honestly, what documentation did they have?
She would say like, ha, ha, ha. They'd see her in her helicopter lifting up the Eiffel Tower going, ha, yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
So she was evil.
Yeah. She was the villain.
Wow. A cappella sang the theme song.
I remember that.
Well, because there are so many lochs in Scotland, the Scottish, like many folk who develop societies around large bodies of water, have a plethora of folklore involving terrifying water monsters. Most disturbing is the shape-shifting Kelpie, also known as Ek-Ukya, which roughly translates in English as water horse.
Whoa.
I wonder why they went with Kelpie as opposed to...
Well, it's something Scottish. Scottish has old language. They don't think they have Gaelic. Gaelic. Is it the same as Gaelic?
I mean, they're that... that's Gaelic. That is definitely Gaelic.
Okay. You
know, that's not the Gaelic I know.
Wow. Sasha Gray, we're here. We're ready to be guests on your show.
39 and holding.
Well, ironically, water horses are always encountered on land and can be identified by the seaweed tangled up in their mane and their wet skin. If an unsuspecting or foolish soul decides to climb upon this mystery horse, they would find that the water horse's skin is also highly adhesive.
Whoa, sticky horse!
That is not a game you want to play with your grandfather.
And the water horse will gallop straight into the loch, taking the stuck and screaming victim down to the depths where they meet a horrific death by drowning.
I know what I saw!
Wow. Look at that guy over there molesting that horse to death.
Wow, that is horrible. Really, I cannot think of a worse fate. So do you die from the drowning, or do you die from them destroying your entire body?
In this fantasy, you die from drowning. But it does sound like what could have happened is they got by a boa constrictor, and you could call a big snake a water horse, if we're getting into creative names for things that we don't understand.
Call it a freaking anaconda.
I don't think they ever had boa constrictors or anacondas in Scotland.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they have jungle snakes in the lochs. I don't know.
I don't know what they have over there.
Something wandered over there, because then you think about maybe during the Roman times when they spread deep into the Anglo-Saxon territory, they could have accidentally have brought with them various exotic animals and littered them throughout these areas. This is actually a theory that I now in my Starbucks addled brain, I actually think is
it's fucking Noah's,
tight.
It's literally Noah's Ark.
I think it's just a lesson that's don't get on a strange horse.
What?
I would never touch a horse.
That was the lesson. Wait, lesson you got out of this?
Well, never specifically, touch a horse. Specifically, the water horse targets children by pretending to be tame and gentle, its back.
come on, kids. What you doing? You playing a game? I'm a fun talking.
You know, it's
horse.
Weird that you have that to try to attract me, a child. It's the most creepy thing I could
have ever seen.
No, I don't like that voice at all.
Oh yeah, come on, get on me, long child.
All right.
Well, the water horse's back will all actually lengthen to accommodate as many children as are present.
Oh.
Then, once all of them are glued on tight, the water horse speeds them to their doom.
Sweet. Honestly, there's so many kids in Scotland. Yeah. And in these areas, they have a lot of kids.
I mean,
sometimes it's good to have someone to take out like 8 in one go. You gotta help the town have enough corn.
Get this thing some training. Make it a bus driver. Why not? The kids are already on there. That'll be kind of a fun way to show up to school until you have to unstick yourself from the sea serpent and you probably will lose the back of your pants.
Honestly, we're really building out our cryptid high school like pitch right now.
Cryptid high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, in one folktale featuring the water horse, one of the children actually cuts off all of his fingers in a bid to escape. Fingerless, he then watches as all of his friends are carried off into the water, which of course makes him the one who survives to tell the tale.
I was training to play the harp.
Oh, that's really sad.
Now I've got to use my feet and my dick.
Yep, you're gonna have to become a drummer.
Strangely, many water horse stories are very similar to vampire folklore. Sometimes a water horse will take the form of a man or a woman, then shapeshift into a horse instead of a bat when it comes time to eat the victim alive.
That's scarier than a bat.
Yeah, why would they scarier. Ever? Why would they ever be a bat?
There's something terrifying about just like Kissel standing above my bed, just being like, "I got lost going to the refrigerator," and then all of a sudden he morphs into a horse.
Yeah.
That's scary as fuck.
You'd be like, and then starts eating you alive.
Get on, I'm sticky.
I think a horse eating you's actually gotta be fucking painful.
Yeah. You're gonna wanna hop on me now, I'm sticky.
Okay, good. Better get out there while the stick is fresh.
Yeah.
There's actually even a water horse story in which the creature shapeshifts into a horse and chases his victim all the way back home, but is unable to enter because, like the vampire, he must be invited inside before he can cross the threshold.
Interesting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this would be great for horse girls. Wouldn't they want to turn into a big... Dude, horse girls...
What's a horse girl?
They're girls that are... They normally have very long hair, and they are obsessed with horses. In school, I'm surprised you didn't see some because you were from farm areas.
Well, we had cows. Oh, someone who does...
Someone who's obsessed... Like, girls that are obsessed with horses. A lot of the times, they're particular.
Right.
They're an interesting bunch. Lonely. Loving horses. The solitary nature of horses. They're the only ones that the horses can understand. The horse is the only thing that they can understand. My question is that, like, do they want to turn into a horse, or do they just want to have sex with one?
Well, it seems like their perfect man would be a centaur.
Ooh. I do know some horse girls who had the experience of riding horses all the time were quite fond of riding the horse.
Well, a lot of times.
You know what I mean.
That's what happens when you tell a woman, better get in. Water horse is sticky.
Well, that's the only reason they get away with all the bestiality. No one can see it happening. This is ridiculous. Double standards.
What?
They can ride the horse. I say, she's just really, she's into charcuterie. What's that called when you
she'd
ride?
She'd have to ride the horse upside down. She'd have to grip onto its
haunches. That's what they do.
Like she was hugging it.
What's that thing? What do you call that when you play with the horses all the time? It's not charcuterie. That's a meat and cheese board.
Charcuterie. I am just.
No, that's a meat and cheese board. What is it
called? I don't think there's a word.
No, there is a word.
Mitt Romney's wife does it.
Oh, you're talking about dressage. You're talking about dressage.
Dressage.
Jesus Christ.
That's fancy horse walking. That's not
that's what I said. Horse walking. That's it. Those horses might be sticky. We don't know.
Well, you said, what's the word for when you play with horses all the time?
That's what it is.
I gotta stop.
They get paid a lot of money to do that. The horses get paid to be stroked by those people.
Guys, just so you know, in March, we'll have been doing Last Podcast and Left for 10 years.
Oh my God.
And I think that's the dumbest you've sounded.
No, I don't think so. Kevin loved horses. He had Horse Illustrated.
Oh, don't make me sad.
Well, concerning their ubiquity, stories about water horses were told in Scandinavia, Siberian Russia, Italy, and Eastern Europe. And one explorer of the Americas in 1535 heard natives tell a story of a fish shaped like a horse that wandered land by night searching for victims.
Can I ask something? If it's a fish that's shaped like a horse, can we just go ahead and call it a fucking horse?
Yeah, because it's on land.
It's a horse.
When it's a fish head?
When it's in the water, it's a fish. And when on land, it's a horse.
That's pretty
cool. But how do you refer to
things.
It?
A fashorsh.
Ooh, a shorsh. That's scary, and you have to, even if you're sober, you'll be like, I saw the shorsh. You'll be like, he's hammered.
Right, he's hammered. No, the shorsh, you went to the wish.
I know,
the shorsh, I go to the wish.
Live from your grave.
Now, our next cryptid today has been seen much more than just once, but it still fits the postulation that these creatures are slipping in and out of our dimension. Oh. But this one, like many of the others we'll discuss later, seems oddly in between human and animal.
That's what people even say about us, but look at us. I'll show you I'm a human being. I'll show you my butt.
Sure.
Now, I believe we've already talked about this creature at some point in the past. I think it was on one of our early Adult Swim live streams. But in the context of this episode, the story of the lizard man of Scape Oar Swamp bears repeating. So on June 29th, 1988, a 17-year-old named Christopher Davis was driving home from work in the early morning when he blew a tire near the edge of the Scape Oar Swamp near Bishopville, South Carolina.
Hello, my name is Attire.
Save it. We got live shows this weekend, all right? We need to fucking burn through this shit now, all right? Wait till we get to stage this weekend.
He got out of the car and changed the tire, but just as he was finishing up, he heard the thumping sound of something rapidly approaching.
No!
Christopher turned, and out of the darkness came a 7-foot-tall, scaly green, bipedal lizard with 3 black clawed fingers and glowing red eyes.
Hey, tell me, have you played Red Dead Redemption 2?
I love Red Dead Redemption 2. Also, I'm just going to point this out. A lot of height shaming going on today, guys.
Oh, whatever. Yeah,
there's no
Where's
height
the
shaming.
Short cryptids? Where's the little troll cryptids?
I've asked about doing tiny creatures, which we did gnomes once, and we will eventually do, because there is a whole chapter in the Inhumanoids on hirsute small creatures. So we can actually do quite a bit.
Okay. No, I mean, we are, most of the creatures we're talking about will be 7 feet tall. I do have a little, I have a couple of little ones for you. Coming up later, so you won't feel too bad, but it's just, I'm sorry, Ben, most cryptids are gigantic.
They're either tall, they're very, very tall. That's how they are seen over reeds.
Well, and of course, that would be because they're intergalactic and the gravity changes, so they would be taller now, wouldn't they?
Mm. You know what? That's the first fucking point made today.
Absolutely.
What's extremely odd about the lizard man or lizard men is that they seem to have a particular aversion towards automobiles, and as a result, don't really pay much attention to human beings.
Now, this is a great topic on Coast to Coast AM. If you look up Lizard Man, there's a lot of Lizard Man coverage in Coast to Coast AM, and you know why? It's because George Norrie cannot physically understand why lizard men hate cars. Because he's stuck on this, and this whole time he's like, well, I don't understand. These lizard men could go so much farther than South Carolina if they had themselves some form of vehicle.
Yeah.
Why do you think they're scared of? Is it because Fords are fixed or repaired daily? But he's very mad. And then most of the people say this. And there was one cryptid hunter on Coast to Coast AM whose main thing is like, can you even imagine how many lizard men must have been mauled and hurt by traveling vehicles?
Sure.
Because when it comes down to it, they're skittish. You're more scared of us than them. And they shouldn't be because they're scary. And we're not, right?
Well, cars are very scary for a lizard man. Or
they say lizard men get clipped by cars. Yeah, they say that they take their rage out on these cars because they've been clipped by them all the time.
I believe it.
When Christopher Davis saw this creature, he jumped in his car and tried escaping. But before he could take off, the lizard man attacked the vehicle by ripping off the mirror and gouging the roof. I mean, imagine if you are a creature that has slipped in from another dimension. You keep getting hit by cars and killed by cars. You don't know what a car is, so you just keep attacking the car. You think the car is your natural enemy. You don't know that the little thing inside is actually the thing that you should kill.
Yes. Honestly, a car is just a cryptid Kinder Egg. You tear it open, and then you get your little prize on the inside.
Oh, yeah, the screaming little meat in there.
Exactly.
It's like a big clam.
Play with the person like they're a bicycle and
Well, Jurassic Park, Tyrannosaurus Rex has the moment where it starts attacking the car like it's a person. And versus like as an animal, it felt.
And Tyrannosaurus Rex was just so upset because it couldn't touch its own balls.
Christopher did get away without any further damage.
Oh.
But that summer, multiple cars in the vicinity of that swamp were vandalized with ripped fenders, deep scratches, and bent antenna, amongst more destruction.
I will give credit to some of the crypto hunters on Coast to Coast AM, because George Norrie does, and he never does this, but he did pose a question. Now, maybe there's some form of natural explanation for these lizard men.
Oh, wow.
Could be some form of dinosaur caught in a time machine. And you're like, well,
no, that's the natural explanation.
That's it.
I mean, we used to do the same thing when we were just like teenagers. We used to rip stuff off of cars and stuff. But
No, only lizards can do this.
Oh.
But the where's one broken crypto hunter who was like, that's an interesting question, George, about whether or not it could be a natural phenomenon. Because the one thing I will say, and I will duly blame. And so we got a highway running through here. You don't know what comes off these circus trucks. These cryptozoologists are so afraid of the circus. They bring it up in each episode.
It's very valid.
They blame the circus. They're like, these circus, one of these creatures come up on one of these circus trains come up in there. These circus don't report it. These circus don't report it.
They don't report it. They're felons.
No, because when it comes down to circus, they're slimy. Con man,
coming around here telling you what your weight is. I'll tell you what my weight is. Right? I'll tell you what. Oh, is that? Oh, you think that's a big lady? Oh, this she ain't bigger than my Aunt Tom.
Yeah, you can put a beard on anyone. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, remember we were, what was the one that we were, that we did the live show bit on many years ago where the fucking, the goat axe, the axe with the big gigantic goat.
Yes,
the whole
right.
thing was that it had escaped from a lightning storm had, like a big fucking thunderbolt had struck this fucking train, this circus train. Uh-oh. And now this creature is hanging around underneath this bridge killing teenagers for the next 30 years.
But the way that this cryptozoologist talked about circuses, it's as if he survived something wicked. This way comes where he was so scared of the circus. He's like, they ain't got no rules. You know, they live their everyday jobs and they run out. Now they're spinning on poles. Some of these people going there, they're wearing nuts to nothing, wearing a bikini, jumping on top of a horse instead of being an accountant, trying to say, I don't have a real job just because I wanted to go. Because I wanted to go. I wanted to flip upside down.
I think there's
for a living.
There's a lot of people with the vendetta against the circus for one reason or another. Maybe they lost a family member. Maybe they wanted to be a carny and were rejected because they were too sober.
You actually have to be very skilled to join the circus.
I know. Honestly, please, God, please be skilled if you are running any amusement park ride.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they are, though.
No, they're not.
Oh, be very careful on those.
No. We were in Kennywood and every employee, honestly, at the most was 13 years old.
Yeah. Same at Coney Island. But I trust the kids at Coney for some reason. They
I don't
seem
know why.
Sharp.
For some reason.
Well, they've been raised watching the coaster go. They should know how to work it, right? They're just on the boardwalk, you know? They've absorbed all of this information.
Yeah. Well, in one Lizard Man case, a couple of weeks after Christopher's encounter, a couple reported that their car was covered in teeth marks and scratches. And when police investigated, they found some hair and a muddy three-toed footprint.
Oh.
Now, the Lizard Man or Lizard Men, they laid low for about 20 years.
How about Lizard Women?
I mean, that's true. Sure. Lizard people.
They can actually change sex really easily if they are an amphibian. So it should actually be a lizard person.
You've answered your own question. Then,
yep, I did. Didn't I? Huh?
Good work.
Well, my fucking TED Talk.
Good work.
They also might have just returned to where they came from for 20 years.
Oh.
But in 2008, a woman named Dixie Rawlson walked out one morning from her house to find that the front half of her van was chewed up by some obviously large creature.
I know this was my ex-husband, Steve.
Does he eat a lot of cars?
I know what he tried to do. Blaming it on lizards.
Something had bitten through the front grille. Both sides of the van above the wheel wells were bitten as well. And the metal trim was bent as if it was made of nothing stronger than paper. This woman also reported a trail of blood. And according to her report, a good number of her 20 cats were missing.
9 is a good number.
Okay.
I'd say good number is 7. Because if it's 9, it's almost half my cats is gone. But if it's good 7, number, that's a good number.
I'd go 5 to 7,
Yeah, you're right.
5 to 7 you're in there. Because 4 isn't a good number, a small number. Yeah, 5 to 7.
Once you hit 20 cats, are you even counting? At some point, I would imagine that I would have counted the same cat 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, you can't tell them apart too often,
Well, 7 years later, a different woman claimed to have gotten a picture of the Lizard Man, but that picture is almost certainly a fake.
Oh.
This somewhat famous picture shows a confident, muscular, particularly rubbery Lizard Man striding through a clearing in a wooded area like he's got the fucking biggest dick in town.
Woo! He might.
He could.
I will say, you know what I saw that was actually pretty realistic was a drawing of that picture.
Oh, okay.
It was actually much more realistic than the picture itself.
Fantastic.
Well, the woman claimed that she took the picture when she was leaving church, I suppose trying to lend Jesus to her honesty.
Mm-hmm.
But while the picture is fun, it's also obviously a humbug.
The H word.
Yeah. And speaking of having fun with the Lizard Man, in 2017, the South Carolina Emergency Management Division tweeted a warning about the upcoming solar eclipse. They said paranormal activity increases during solar events.
We don't know. That's so
maybe,
cute. I love it when the government makes funny little jokes.
It's like they said, maybe there's a lizard man that maybe they're more active during solar eclipses.
I don't know. That's so funny.
Maybe they are, but they're advising the residents to remain vigilant against
the car
munchers.
That's so fucking funny. It's like Trout Bears. That's so fucking funny.
It is funny.
Do you know that $45,000 spend each year on the fake tracking of Santa Claus at Christmas?
Isn't that nice?
That's taxpayers' money.
Yes. Well, okay.
$45,000, huh?
No, I think they just make it up. It's I don't know if they're possible. Really looking for him or not. Yeah. I think it would be irresponsible if they were using Harp for
it. Oh, we
would
have shot him down in many, many years.
I mean, we're already testing out the electromagnetic rays that we're using to maybe knock down orbs out of the sky right now, which is actually probably what happened at Roswell as well, to bring that all the way full circle. One interesting thing about the Lizard Man, which is why I think she took the picture of it outside of church, or says she did, or connected it to church, is that there are a lot of people in the area that view Lizard Man and things like lizards or a walking lizard, an upright lizard, or however they want to call it, as an example that Satan still walks the earth. That's an example that Satan is still strong enough to physically manifest onto planet Earth. And that actually the whole Lizard Man thing has this strange biblical side to it, where they talk about it as if it's a harbinger of bad things to come, or that it literally Lizard Man might eat your pussy and turn you into a Satanist, which he might.
Right? I don't know what it'll do.
Wait, so what does God have to do with him attacking cars and Satan? Satan hates cars?
Does Satan not like cars?
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit. Satan doesn't like cars.
Yeah, you're going to have to get into your car then, buddy.
I think he doesn't like speed.
Okay.
And he doesn't like things going
take
back.
It slow. You're here for a while.
But because they connected also to the idea of the reptilian aliens and how the reptilian aliens, if they are real, right? The idea they feed off of negative energy and the constant division about whether or not our aliens angels or aliens demons, and they use that to kind of say this, because they kind of lump Lizard Man into this kind of pan pseudo religious idea that cryptids are demons.
I mean, the nice thing is you can make it all up. You can make up anything. You can just say anything you want.
Yes.
So that's great.
Yeah, it is fun.
Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Now, one of the things that I often hear people lamenting is that these sorts of encounters seem to be in the past. Mm-hmm. That sightings and weird shit don't happen anywhere near as much as they used to. But with just a little bit of Googling, and mostly with the site phantomsandmonsters.com, I found that people are still seeing weird shit all over America almost every single day. And much of it is entirely unique.
Well, last year, during the height of the quarantine, we talked with our buddy, John Tenney, who talked about one of the weird anomalous things that he was hearing reported quite a bit, was those floating hairy squares.
Yeah. In Detroit, as a matter of fact, I believe. Yeah. Multiple people from different areas who had not talked with one another.
Covered in hair, floating through. Really, and in my mind, there's, you know, is that ball lightning? Is that something that just kind of static? Or is it this newfangled, now are America's finally accepted obsession with orbs?
Hmm.
Who knows?
Well, one person in Tennessee said that his father was transporting some goods through Mont Eagle.
Okay. Why did you make goods sound nefarious?
Because
that is what people transport.
Good.
He just said goods in air quotes as if it's just corn.
Because you'd say corn if it was corn.
Yeah. You know when you say goods, it's purposefully vague, and I don't trust purposefully vague when it comes to transportation of goods.
Yeah, it's women in a U-Haul.
Wow. All right.
This guy's father said that he saw something that night that, quote, rubbed him the wrong way.
I hate that.
In the middle of the night, this goods transporter saw a cat-like creature with abnormally long legs and a short torso.
They gotta get Jackson Galaxy out there.
I won't be tamed.
It had a notably ugly face.
Shut up.
And was sitting on a brick wall on the side of the road, perched feet flat and knees bent.
I'm just living my life. Why are you all hating on me?
Let it live its life.
Come on, some people like me. I don't know.
The creature was at least 4 feet tall, and while it had a body like an animal, its face was human-like, but unsettlingly deformed.
All right, what do you want from me, right? You want to be more cat-like, and then I would be fine? Because I'm human-like, I'm deformed? Is that what this is? I'm actually fine.
I think you're super cute, cat weird thing.
Yeah, do you?
No, I don't think you're that cute. Please don't cat fuck
me. I'm more human-like than cat.
No, you're not. You're still more of a cat. I'm not going to fuck you.
Yeah, don't fuck the cat, remember?
No, I do remember.
That was a test.
Similarly, two people in Northern California saw a creature with animal-like features, but like the creature in Tennessee, the whole package was put together in a bizarrely random and uncanny way.
I love mixed-matched animals. I love that. This is my favorite part of like cryptids is that stuff where it's just like, I don't know what happened in between dimensions.
Yeah.
They all just get scrambled up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of horrible, horrible taxidermy.
These people said that they were on deliveries when they saw a creature near a disused rail yard at about 11 o'clock at night. This odd creature, waist high with the features of a cat or a rabbit, something in between, was standing on a trashed out boxcar.
Okay.
Once it was noticed, it quickly skittered off on two hind legs.
It's a little cabot. It's a cat rabbit.
And even more unsettling was its face. The face was extremely round, unsettlingly round.
What's with the round?
I don't know.
It sounds just like Thomas the Tank Engine. It's
I know that
he's
fake, man. Yeah. If I saw a fucking talking train, I'd become a domestic terrorist.
Yeah. And like the creature in Tennessee, this creature wasn't quite human, but it wasn't quite animal either.
Live from your grave.
There it was, everyone. Hope you had a fantastic, 90 minutes of pure cryptid heaven.
Oh, we don't know. We'll
we
never
don't
know.
Know. We
80
don't know.
85 minutes.
Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you learned a lot about things that may or may not exist. Either way, did it get you laid?
What are you talking about? It's still real to me, damn it.
I know.
It's still real to me.
I did just catch you looking at the Bigfoot subreddit.
Of course. That's where I am. That's where I lurk. High strangeness, cryptid lore, Bigfoot fucks.
Let me just see what they're saying.
Dude, no, look. Here, right. You want to see this? You guys were all talking.
I did a close up on a frame of Patty. That's what.
Yeah, look at this. Enhanced. They fancy
it's
show.
More
it's
more of a man.
No, it's an ape face.
We have. This is why the jury system doesn't work.
This is from the Patterson Gimlet video. Someone enhanced on the face. Ben saying it looks more like a man. Henry is saying
he look like a Bigfoot.
And Marcus.
And I'm saying that he looks like George Mirazon. However, he could also be a Bigfoot.
We don't know. He wouldn't allow the government to have his DNA for his 23andMe, which I think all giants should be forced to submit to.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Again.
Magustalations, everyone.
Why don't you go out there and cover some stranger in suntan lotion on your spring break and
have
just
fun.
Hail me. Just say that straight into their butthole.
That'll be nice. Yep.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.